We pray this message blesses and encourages you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Perfect. Thank you. Oh, bless you guys. That was beautifully led, Cliona. Can we give it up for Cliona and bless her? And while you're in the clapping mood, I just so enjoyed that worship time. Can we bless our worship team? I just love a bit of Andy's rocky guitar, and that sounds so old, doesn't it? Rocky guitar. Anyway, bless the Lord. It's great to be here. And just so conscious that it is Mother's Day, and our thoughts and our hearts are very much with Pastor Des. Pastor Des is meant to be leading today. And I was thinking as we were worshiping, and I was thinking as we were, you know, seeking the Lord together and just praising his name, that I most likely wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a praying mum. Amen. The power of a praying mother is absolutely powerful. And I know my mum and dad are watching this online. And mum, happy Mother's Day, and I love you. And thank you so much for praying for me and for the family. And I'm thinking the same for Pastor Des and Linda. And there's a beautiful old newsletter, and we've highlighted it sometimes in the past. And the newsletter is just funny because it has whatever year it was, so it's maybe a couple of decades ago, but it has the praying list. And Linda, Des's mum, would put down Des, and it was there on a weekly basis. Pray for Des, pray for Des. And praise God. Like, what a mighty man of God we're blessed to have, to know such a friend, such a brother in the Lord. Let's give it up for Pastor Des. So praise God. Into our sermon today. And so last week, this was the title for last week's sermon, David Found Strength in the Lord. And I'm moving on now to this week's. And today's title is New Beginnings, and we bless the Lord for that. We're going to be looking today in the scripture and realize the actuality of David becoming king. It's finally going to arrive. We've been following David's journey throughout 1 Samuel. We're now into the second book of Samuel, and this is where David finally becomes king. I recall the song from the Lion King musical where Simba, in all his little innocence, is strutting around, and he knows that he's heir to the throne, and he's singing, "I just can't wait to be king." And we know, for those who've enjoyed the musical or the movie, that it takes years before he gets to be king. And that's exactly what we're going to see as well in the life of David, and we have seen in the life of David. But God is the God who is going to cause David to step into a new day. He's going to step into a new life. He's going to step into a new experience. He's going to step into new responsibility. He's going to step into a day of new beginnings. And this totally makes sense when we look at the scriptures, because God is the source of all newness. Praise God. He is the source of all things new. Throughout the Bible, our God is the one who is the source of the new creation. He is the source of the new heart, the new day. He puts a new song on our hearts. He is the one with the fresh word, the fresh manna, the fresh bread, the new purpose, the new vision, the new breakthrough, the new season. All of this is our God. We read in the scriptures that his mercies are new every morning, every single morning. His mercies are new. And that's how we can have this refreshed walk with Jesus every single day. That even though we might have been having a bit of a tantrum day yesterday, or, you know, we lost our rattle out of our pram and we were giving off to God about life and everybody and what have you, we can wake up today and his mercies are new every morning. No matter what yesterday was like, his mercies are new every morning. The bread of his presence, the manna of his presence is fresh every day, glory to God. And mourning may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want you to consider this, even before we get to reading the word today. Because Jesus is alive, and because his living word is being expressed today, and I don't mean that in relationship to me, it could be anyone here, but we are expressing the living word of God. And because the Holy Spirit is hovering over this place, I want to encourage everyone here today that you are just a prayer away from a new beginning. You're just a prayer away, a decision away from a new beginning. And Lord, even now we pray that if you stir our hearts towards stepping into a new day, a new beginning this day, that we would be bold enough to utter our needs before you, to express in prayer our desire for a new beginning. And I pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 7 today. So in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. Why is he asking this? Well, we know at this time in his history that David is living in the land of the Philistines, betrayed by his own people, a bloodthirsty King Saul wanting his demise, wanting to murder him. He's had to flee to the Philistines. You remember the Philistines were the people that had that guy called Goliath, yeah? The Philistines are the enemy of God's people, and he was so pushed away from his people that he's now living with the enemy. David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. The Lord said, "Go up." David asked, "Where shall I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah, it's happened. When David was told that it was the men from Jabesh Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to them to say to them, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave. Be strong and courageous." That's our theme for the year. Be strong and brave, for Saul, your master, is dead, and the people of Judah have anointed me king over them. Lord, we thank you for your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. New beginnings in the Lord can sometimes have a habit of taking time to arrive. We bless the Lord for those instantaneous events, that time when we got on our knees and we asked Jesus into our lives, and instantly we became children of God as we repented, as we said, "Lord, I'm so sorry for the life I've lived of independence, of doing my own thing, of being willful, of just being selfish. Lord, I thank you so much for the finished work of the cross. I'm bowing the knee to your lordship, to your mastery over me, to the fact that you have won the great victory, and I give you my life." And so we know instantaneously we were transported into the fellowship of believers. Amen. Forever and ever in Christ's name. So there's great instantaneous stuff that happens as believers. Sometimes we pray and it happens. It's like, "Oh my goodness, thank you, Lord, for coming through so quickly with that need." And he is faithful. But there's also the reality that this great God who is shaping our lives and molding our character and who's interested in causing our soul to grow and mature and develop so that we become more and more like Jesus. There are times when we can pray for the new beginning. The new beginning is promised to us, but it takes a time to arrive. Amen. Has that ever happened to anyone in here? Praise the Lord. Two people. Praise the Lord. Heavy point. That seems to happen to me quite often in my life, where there's a stirring and I know that God has promised and I know that God is going to do something, but it's not happening quickly enough for me. According to biblical scholars, they argue over the amount of time it took between the anointing of Samuel. Do you remember when David was minding the sheep up in the hills and Samuel came to anoint David, and he came to David's dad and all the sons were brought out? David wasn't even brought out before Samuel. David was left up in the hills. That's how little they thought of him. And yet Samuel knew, no, the guy that I need to anoint isn't here. Do you have another son, Jesse? And so David was called from the hills and he was anointed. The time of Samuel's anointing to the time of what we've just read here in 2 Samuel chapter 2, scholars believe could have taken anything from 10 to 20 years. 10 to 20 years of waiting. It's like waiting for a bus in Dublin. 10 to 20 years. David was anointed king over Israel in 1 Samuel 16, verse 12 to 13. But it's taken a while for he just couldn't wait to be king. David's song would be, I just had to wait to be king. David didn't rush in blindly or arrogantly and seize it. Instead, he waited on the Lord. He showed tremendous love and honor to Saul. He totally took on board that sense of not touching the Lord's anointed. Even though he knew that he was the anointed successor, he didn't take things into his own hands. Brothers and sisters, here's a point. In 10 to 20 years, in those 10 to 20 years, in that stretch of time, King Saul went from being a man of humility to being a man of hardness, where David went from being a man of obscurity and humility to being the king and still humble. The question is, in times of waiting, do you and I become better or bitter? It's a phenomenal point to consider. When you see the difference in the journey of Saul in that same time period and the difference in the heart and the actions of David. When we're waiting, it is so sad to become bitter. It is so sad to become soured to God and the things of God. Throwing up little amounts of words that say things like, I thought you loved me. I thought you cared for me. And God is loving on us in the waiting. You see, we don't mind singing about the waiting. We just don't like waiting. Once it's in a worship song, and we can do the in the waiting, we're good. But when it's actually happening, and it's sore, and it's hard, that's when God is saying, I'm trying to make you better. But Lord, I wanted it yesterday. I sang about it on Sunday. I lifted my hands. Lord, I looked really Christian on Sunday. I want the answer now. I want it tomorrow. I want it by the end of the week. In the waiting, God is making new wine. Is he? Is he making new wine? What is the opposite of new wine? Well, it's vinegar. It's old wine. It's sour wine. Vinegar. So we can either, at the end of a season, be new wine and rejoice in the lyrics of that song that we've just sung, or we can turn out to be vinegar, to be sour, to be bitter to people's taste in the lives around us. We need to learn how to use the time between the promise and it becoming an actuality. We need to learn to use that time to grow and to mature and to lean into God. You see, one of the things I will say here, and I would say everyone in this church will respond by saying amen to, is the phrase, God's timing is perfect. And we will all say amen. But the actuality of the working out of that can sometimes be very, very difficult for us. David, in the time of bettering himself and allowing himself to be even more humble before the Lord, he chose not to seize the throne. It was the elders of Judah who come looking for him to anoint him king at the time that the Lord God wanted it. David knew that it was better to let God lift him up through others than it was to strive for advancement himself. And this is always a challenge. No matter how young or old we are in the Lord, we always will even try little nooks and crannies to advance ourselves. Sure, amn't I this? Amn't I amazing? Shouldn't I be doing this? And then sometimes the Lord will hold us fast because it's never meant to be about us. It's meant to always be about him. We should never strive to advance God's kingdom in our own strength, through our own devices, on our own terms, in our own timing. We should leave any advancement or promotion of ourselves in his hands. And that will be so much more fulfilling when it happens because we know that our dirty mitts aren't on it. New beginnings, they take time to arrive. And with the arrival of the new beginning, we need fresh anointing. There is a sense in which the first anointing from Samuel wasn't enough. We need a fresh anointing from God and an ongoing experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we stay new in the new beginnings, that we stay fresh for the new beginnings, that we are alive to God and we're awake to God. And I praise God for that old anointing and for that old role and for that thing that we did back then. But we are waiting for the new beginning. Amen. For the new day, for the new song, for the new mercies. The anointing, and I find this really, really good. Some of you can't step into the new beginning yet because you're still living in the land of the Philistines. And what I mean by that is that you're surrounded by enemy thoughts. You're surrounded by enemy attitudes. You're surrounded by enemy feelings. You haven't yet got the right heart to step into the new beginning. And sometimes we can find ourselves as if we're like in the wilderness, a wilderness experience, and we can find ourselves a bit forlorn or a bit cut off. And we need to make sure that we move from that place of the Philistines in our heads and our hearts. David wasn't anointed king. The men of Judah didn't go to the land of the Philistines to anoint him there. He had to come to the place of God to be anointed. While David still lived among the Philistines, virtually as a Philistine, he had to get things right in his own walk before the fresh anointing would come. Are any of us walking and playing and messing in the land of the Philistines at the moment? Is there a sense that God is saying to you today, come home, come to me, come back to this place? You know that the Lord is saying, just as he said to David, go up, it's time to go up. Go up to the high places. Go up into my presence. Go up into the intimacy with me. And God will be waiting there. And God will bless you. And God will give you the fresh anointing for the new day, the new season. We need to, as we understand that new beginnings take time to arrive, we need to maintain a good heart and a good attitude. Please don't wish your life away. Please don't wish your time away. Please don't wish people away. I find it remarkable when I read the life of David that even though he was anointed king, he became best friends of King Saul's son, Jonathan. Even though he knew that legally, in a sense, Jonathan was a rightful heir to King Saul because he was the son of Saul. But David never desired or designed that Saul or Jonathan would be dead. There's an incredible example, an incredible witness in the story of the prodigal son. Because in the story of the prodigal son, the younger son wants his inheritance now. So he basically goes to his dad and says, I wish you were dead. Well, Sean, sorry, that's not in my Bible. He doesn't say that. No, I know he doesn't say those words. But when he went to his dad and said, I want all of my inheritance now, he was effectively saying, I'm sick of this place. I'm sick of this house. I'm sick of you. I wish you were dead so I could have my inheritance. The Father is so loving. The Father is so loving. Our Father never withholds anything. He is so generous in all of his ways. And the Father gives him his inheritance. And the Father spends the rest of his days waiting on him to come home. It took time for him to arrive to his senses. It took time for him to come to the new beginning. But he did come. Are you living your life at the moment where you're, if you were being honest, you are wishing that someone was dead? Your life would be happier. Things would be so much better if that person didn't exist. If that person wasn't here. Watch your hearts. Watch your attitudes. We want to add to our lives quickly. We want what we want now, and we want it quickly. But God wants to add to our faith. God wants to add to our soul. God wants to add to our character. And so God sometimes will put us in the waiting. He will have us in the waiting season for the new beginning to come before we can step in to the fullness that he has for us. So sometimes we wait. And in the waiting, we seek to grow better and not bitter. In the waiting, we say, Lord, please search my heart. In this season of waiting, search my heart. If there's still anything offensive in me, in this season of waiting, Lord, rip it out. Rip it out. Take it away. Lord, if my attitude is full of stinking thinking, Lord, would you change my attitude? I want to be fresh. I want to be ready for the new day. I don't want to be carrying old baggage and stuff from yesteryear. I love 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. And I love the onus that it puts on us because it says, make every effort, because sometimes we feel everything lands on us. But it says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, every single one of us wants to be effective and productive. But if we don't take the time of waiting to add to our faith, we're going to be ineffective and we're going to be unproductive. And the Lord will keep us there on the sidelines, because he loves us and because he wants us to be fresh and ready for new beginning. He will cause it to be. And that's just the way it goes. New beginnings also move us from the old. And I don't mean this in an ageist way. I certainly don't mean this in an ageist way, because we know that the God who is the rock of ages is the God of all ages. And it doesn't matter if you're a babe in arms or if you're 106, God still wants to use you. Amen. So it's not ageism when we're talking about the old. We're talking about old habits and old ways. Whatever age we are of use to God. But like the seasons come and go, and like companies rebrand themselves, and just like people reinvent themselves or decorate a room, we are used as people to saying goodbye to the old and saying goodbye to the stale. So why wouldn't we feel that way in our spiritual walk and in our walk with the Lord? The Lord wants us always to be ready to embrace the new beginning by having an attitude that says, I will always step away from that which is old and stale. Amen. Amen. I'll always step away from that which is old and stale. I just, through the years and through all the changes in the church, it has blessed my heart to see people that have stayed with us through the stages and through the ages. And as there's been changes and developments, there's been some mistakes. Glory to God, we're all human. Happy Mother's Day. But glory to God. We praise God that as the Spirit has stirred us and moved us and as there's been changes, we praise God for those changes and all the new life that it has brought to our house and new people by God's grace. We thank God that we got into a position of readiness to embrace the new by, praise God, saying goodbye to the old and the stale. Amen. And that's a great heart. I know some people that are 20 and they just kind of have a really old soul. And I know people that are 96 and they're like skipping around the place in their hearts. And this is the joy of the Lord. I remember we had a family gathering, and actually we had a family gathering last night with all of my cousins on my mum's side from Dublin, and we had a lovely evening. But I can remember, you know, when my grandfather was 87 and we had this family function down in Kerry, and there he was doing his little jig. 87, I had a sore back that day. I was 32. Like, just this fantastic ability to just kind of get up and out and have that joy. Praise God. We need to ready ourselves as we wait for the new beginning. We need to be willing to move on with the new. David was willing to move on to the new. How do we know this? One of the things that shows that we have a fresh soul and an ability to embrace the new is that we pray. Amen. That's one of the things that shows that we're fresh. We're praying. We pray. We're talking to God. We're keeping our communication fresh. Hey, God, it's me. Today, chat. Let's talk. Let's pray. And in verse 1, we saw that David inquired of the Lord. David's got so much going on, but he inquires of the Lord. He knows he's anointed to be a future king, but he inquires still of the Lord. I have a question for you, my brother, my sister. Do we seek God for fresh starts and new beginnings? Or do we try and orchestrate things ourselves? And one of the ways that we show God and show ourselves that we're seeking God for the new day, for the new beginning, that we're seeking God to stay fresh, is that we pray, we inquire of the Lord. And can I submit to us all that one of the ways that shows that we are stale is that we're not praying. Oh, there's so much condemnation in this place. There's no condemnation whatsoever. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. There's just God's desire for all of us to be fresh. God wants the best for you. So when we're talking about prayer, we're not saying, oh, here's another heavy load to put in you. God bless you. Have a great week. We're saying, praise God. God's reminding us that he loves the chats. He loves us to be text messengers with him every day. Here I am, God. This is what's going on in my world. I love that you're interested, God. So that we're fresh and we're in the right place to receive the new beginning and the fresh start. Isn't it so sad when people hear the word prayer and they think burden? What sort of prayer are you thinking about? Prayer is our connection line, our communication, our love language with God. God, help us to be more prayerful. We also see him leaving the old enemy, and I've pointed to this already. At this time, David's still in Ziklag, the territory of the Philistines. Out of great discouragement and despair, he's left the land of Israel, the people that he loves. But now David has this hunger to be restored to the Lord. He wants to move away from the old day, from this stale place. So he has to desire to move. And he has to move. Can I just say this, my brother and my sister, in love to you today? This might be relevant to you. One of the greatest obstacles to a new beginning in your life is getting comfortable with the old. And one of the greatest obstacles to a new beginning happening in your life is becoming friends with the old enemy. There's nothing sadder than seeing people befriending an addiction. I have walked into family functions, and I have seen people literally say this, lift up a pint and say, hello, my old friend. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not trying to put in a little point for kind of illustration. I'm telling you a fact. I have heard friends, relatives of mine lift up a pint and go, hello, old friend. And in the Irish community, it's like, oh, that's hilarious. That is so hilarious. My old friend. And here we have this absolutely destroyed nation. Homes destroyed because of the old friend. The old friend. People who've made friendships with enemies, with addictions. Are they lesser people? No, they're lost people. They're broken people. And we need to be there for them. But never get comfortable with the old sin. Never cause it to be your embrace. Some people feel, well, if I just go in here and I watch this, I'm going to feel good. I'm going to make friends with what I'm going to be watching secretly on this screen. Why? Why would we make friends with an old enemy when God wants us to embrace the new? You know, it's got so bad in the way someone has embraced an old enemy when they start saying things like, this is me, this is the way I am. What a liar, the enemy. But this is me. You want me? This is the way I am. This is the way it is. What they're saying is, I'm stuck living here. I can't see the new beginning happening for me. David was just coming out of a period of spiritual decline. He had ran to reside in the land of the enemy. And God could have put him on probation and refused to speak to him for a while. But instead, the Lord, in all his faithfulness, even when he'd befriended the enemy, the Lord still spoke to him. And my brother, my sister, if you're messing with the enemy's stuff, if you're messing with that which will cause your soul to be stale, if you are living in the land of the Philistines, just reach out to God. He still wants to lead you and guide you in Jesus' name. New beginnings are only good news if we have a desire to move into the new. New beginnings are only good news if we agree with God's choice and God's will. And this is where we need to surrender. And I think Cleena talked about this earlier. It was in one of the songs about the need for us to completely surrender all the time. And surrendering to God means that we will be happy with the new beginning, whatever it is, because it's God's choice and it's God's will. God's choice for his people is David. If you didn't like David, tough. God had chosen David. Saul is gone. David is now king. Verse 4 said, the men of Judah came to Hebron, where they anointed David king over the tribe of Judah. Verse 7 said, Saul, your master is dead. This is David speaking. And the people of Judah have now anointed me king over them. It's a new day. Praise God. There's been an anticipation, there's been a prolonged time, and now it's finally happening. And David has said goodbye to the old, goodbye to the stale. He's moved from the enemy's land, and he is now in the new. What has you holding on to the old? What has you holding on to the old? What has you holding on to the old today? Is it comfort? Is it familiarity? Is it nostalgia? Don't you know that nostalgia is addiction to the old song? God wants to give you a new song in Jesus' name. Nostalgia is that unhealthy hold of the old song when God has something so new for you. God wants you to have a deep connection to the new day, to the better day, to the new beginnings. It is hard to enjoy the optimism of the new if you are stuck in the past. It is hard to be full of expectation for the new if you are stuck in the past. It is hard to move on if you are stuck in the past. Or maybe a better question to ask you is, what are you holding on to from the past? An old flame, an old love. Will you let go of the old flame for the new flame that will consume your life and bless your life in a powerful way? Last point, and then we pray. New beginnings bring strength and courage. David says something that's a bit mad. He says, it's in verse 7, "Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul, your master, is dead." If I was telling someone to be strong and brave, the next line after that wouldn't be, "So-and-so is dead." Can anyone relate to that? Be strong and brave. Your king Saul is dead. I feel stronger and braver. I feel so strong and brave. I just think, what is he thinking of? But what he's doing is, he is readying the people for the new day. He is reminding them what they already know. And sometimes we need to be reminded of what we already know. You see, a lot of us know that we need to move away from that land of the Philistines. A lot of us know that we need to say goodbye to that addiction. A lot of us know that we need to say goodbye to that stale part of our lives. So when God speaks it to us, it's saying something we already know. And so David is saying what they already know. Be strong, be brave, for Saul, your master, is dead. The people of Judah, though, have now anointed me to be king over them. Death and sadness weakens people. And that was not David's point here. David doesn't finish there. He doesn't finish with, "Be strong and brave, your king is dead." He goes on and explains the new day. "I'm king now, and there's a new day. There's a new sheriff in town." He points the people to the fresh start, to the new day, to the new beginning. "The people of Judah have anointed me king over them. The promise has come to fruition. For the new beginning to be fully embraced, for the new beginning to be truly good news, for the new beginning to bring fresh courage and strength, you must face the reality that the past is gone and dead." And when you face that reality, you can pretend that it's not gone. You can pretend that it's not dead. But when you face the reality that it's dead, it's done for, it's a great release for the new day. And then David honors these people because they've buried the king. And the word for someone here today is, it's time to bury the past. It's time to bury the past. Because in some ways, the past has had a great effort trying to bury you. But today is the day of the new beginning. You're a prayer away from a new beginning. You're a decision away from a new beginning. And in Jesus' name, God wants to give you the strength and the courage and the bravery to bury the past. Bury that which is dead and has no part in you moving forward into the new day. David is commending these people for burying the past. They have buried Saul and David is grateful. They have honored him and they have honored the past. We honor those who've gone before us. We bless them for their faithfulness. We thank God for that which is before us, but it still needs to be buried. They have honored Saul by burying him. And as people of honor, and as an honoring people, and as David said to them, a people who have displayed kindness. So by burying the past, David the king is saying, you've honored him, you've honored the past, fair play, and you've shown kindness by burying the past, and now you have the king's attention. My brother and my sister, in desiring today to say, yes, Lord, once and for all, I'm going to bury the past. Lord, I'm going to honor that and your faithfulness in the past, but the past is gone, it's buried. And Lord, I'm going to be someone who has renewed kindness. You are going to get the attention of the king today in Jesus' mighty name. When we go shopping, we seek fresh fruit, don't we? Lord, some of us are a bit like taking hours to kind of pick an orange or an apple. And we want the fresh fruit. We want the fresh bread. We kind of reach in to the back of the bread because we know where they put the fresh bread. Reaching in, reading the little tag. And these days, God help us, I need 3 pairs of glasses. What's the date on that? And so we're always seeking. We have this attraction to the fresh. We have this attraction to that which is fresh. For holidays, we seek a fresh change because we're told a change is as good as a... And so we seek fresh air. We seek fresh air. So we have this penchant. We have this desire for the fresh. It's already in us. And whenever we get a good break surrounded by freshness, or whenever we get a good meal that's made of fresh produce, we gain strength. I tell you what doesn't give you strength or courage. Stale bread. Stale air. Have you ever been surrounded by stale air and you come out and your clothes are stinking of it? None of us ever do a jig in the kitchen when we open up a packet of apples and three of them are gone off. It upsets us. It robs us of our peace. Ultimately, it weakens us. Can I say today, in Jesus' name, if you are here today shopping for a fresh start, you're in the right place. If you're here today seeking a new day or you need a new day, you're in the right place. Because of St. Mark's? No. Because of who's preaching? No. Because of the leaders here? No. Because Jesus is the king of this house and Jesus is alive and Jesus for you. I'm going to ask the worship team to join us. I'm just going to get us to stand on this Mother's Day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As everyone stands in this place today, can I remind you that you are so full of promise? God has got a purpose for your life. God has got things in store for you that would take your breath away. God has so much in store for you. Please don't stay hugging and holding on to the stale and the old and the past. Please stop standing before people and presenting your CV from yesteryear. I did this and I did that and I did. Let's be alive. Let's be awake to him. Let's be active in our spirits to embrace the new day and the new beginning. Can we lift our hands on the balcony all around the sanctuary? Lord, thank you on this Mother's Day, a day synonymous with the individual that gave birth to us, that you are birthing something here today. In Jesus' name, Lord God, that you are causing a new beginning. Thank you, Jesus. On this day, praise the Lord, Mother's Day 2024 in Dublin City, I stepped into my new beginning. I had faith to believe God that he was moving me from the stale to the fresh, that he was moving me away from the land of the enemy into the land of the King's embrace. God, I want to thank you so much for every single person in this place. Lord, I'm excited about the testimonies that will come down the track about, Lord God, the new day that you started, the new freedom, Lord God, the new song, the new courage, the new breakthrough, the new season, the new mercies that were experienced. God, we're in your debt. Lord, thank you so much for this day. We bless you for your desire to move us into a new beginning. And I bless everyone in Jesus' name and all God's people said.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. If you'd like any more information, please visit stmarkcity.ie. Have a very blessed week.